43. After this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees saw the Ratha Yatra, the car festival ceremony. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself danced in front of the car, and after dancing, he entered a garden. Prataparudrere kripa koilase stane gaudiya bhakte agyadila vidyayaradine. In that garden, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his mercy upon King Prataparudra. Afterwards, when the Bengali devotees were about to return home, the Lord gave separate orders to almost every one of them. Pratyabdha asibe rata yatra darashan echale chahe bhakta ganera milan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired to meet all the devotees of Bengal every year. Therefore, he ordered them to come to see the Ratha Yatra festival every year. Sarva bhoma gare prabhura bhiksha praripati sathira mata kaheyate randhi hauksati. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was invited to dine at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. While he was eating sumptuously, the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the husband of his daughter Sati, criticized him. Because of this, Sati's mother cursed him by praying that Sati would become a widow. In other words, she cursed her son-in-law to die. Varshantare advaitadi bhaktira agaman prabhura dekhita sabe karila agaman. At the end of the year, all the devotees from Bengal, headed by Advaita Acharya, again came to see the Lord. Indeed, there was a great rush of devotees to Jagannath Puri. Anande sabarenya denavasastan shivananda sena kore sabara palan. When all the devotees from Bengal arrived, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu allotted them residential quarters, and Shivananda Sen was put in charge of their maintenance. Shivanandera sange aila kukura bhagyavan prabhura charana deki kaila antardhan. A dog accompanied Shivananda Sen and the devotees, and that dog was so fortunate that after seeing the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was liberated and went back home, back to Godhead. Pate sarvabhoma saha sabara milan sarvabhoma bhattacharyera kashite gaman. Everyone met Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya on his way to Varanasi. Prabhure milila sarva vaishnava asiya jalakrida koila prabhu sabare laiya. After arriving at Jagannath Puri, all the Vaishnavas met with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sported in the water, taking all the devotees with him. Sabalanya kaila gundicha griha samarjana rathayatra darashane prabhura nartan. First, the Lord washed the temple of Gundicha very thoroughly. Then everyone saw the Ratha Yatra festival and the Lord's dancing before the car. Namaham Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Charane Miravishesha Shunyavadi Pashtatya Deshatarane Om Agyanati Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Kavati Vachalam Pangam Langa Ite Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantitam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So there are not so many apparent philosophical points here in these verses, and Srila Prabhupada doesn't elaborate, but of course we can derive a lot of philosophy just from the activities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. but to give everyone, especially devotees who haven't been here over the last few months, a little perspective of what's going on, just as a historical recap, from when, in any case, I was at these classes. My schedule was always changing. But at a certain point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, this is a very significant time because this is just after he takes sannyas. So at a certain point in his grihastha life, he had some students and was teaching them. And he became a Vaishnava, a Bhakta. Of course, this is the pastime of the Lord. And some of his students began to criticize him, particularly when he would chant the names of the gopis. And they became so critical that he, at one point, chastised one and hit one of his students with a stick, or attempted to anyway, and they ran off and told all the other students, and they all got upset and angry at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord began to ponder and think that, well, this isn't very effective preaching. If people get angry at me and criticize me or find fault with me, so he decided at that point to take sannyas and increase his preaching. And from that point, he takes sannyas and goes to live in Jagannath Puri and sets up a residence there in Jagannath Puri, and of course converts Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Even this part of the Madhya Lila that we're reading from is not detailed in the historical analysis. That comes later on in other sections of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's just kind of going through them just as like a PowerPoint presentation, sort of. Then Mahaprabhu travels to South India and preaches to all sorts of different people, the Tattvavadis, and meets different devotees from the Ramanuja sect and Madhva Sampradaya. Preaches, visits all sorts of holy places, and uncovers the Brahma Samhita and the Krishna Karnamrita and scriptures like that. And then he returns to Jagannath Puri, and just before the part that we're reading, he returns to Jagannath Puri, and then now the devotees have come to Jagannath Puri to participate in the Rath Yatra. This is the first Rath Yatra festival that all the devotees from Bengal come to attend. So it's a very sort of historic Leela, or part of the Leela of Mahaprabhu, that all the devotees get inspired. They all come by the hundreds and thousands to Jagannath Puri to participate in the Rath Yatra, just like we all like to go to Rath Yatras. Here in Florida, we have like 5 or 6 Rath Yatras. Everybody goes. Hundreds of devotees go to every Rath Yatra. So this is a very special part of Lord Chaitanya's Leela and pastimes, is festivals like that, Rath Yatra. And then he meets with all his devotees, gives them all specific instructions, and then he tells them all to come, that every year he wants them to come back to Jagannath Puri for the festival. Just like when Prabhupada was here, he began the Mayapur festival. And he wanted all his disciples to come every year to Mayapur and rejuvenate their spiritual lives and associate together and celebrate Gaur Purnim every year. And that's still going on to the present time and into the foreseeable future. Then he and his devotees attend the Snana Yatra, they clean the Gundicha temple, and then they attend the Rath Yatra festival. And this happens a few years. And then up to this point, after 1 year, the Bengali devotees return. A dog is liberated, as we heard about. It's very, very significant, because by even animals can be liberated by the association of pure devotees, Mahabhagavats, and other devotees also, by getting association and by prasadam. In the beginning of the movement, we learned from Srila Prabhupada that if an animal takes prasadam, in his next body he will get a human form of life. So prasadam distribution is for all living entities. It's to benefit all living entities, not just human beings. There's a nice story also, I've forgotten, maybe Pushkar knows where this is from, one of our acharyas. They were walking with his disciples by a small pond, and he threw some mahaprasadam into the water, and the fish came and ate the water, and then his disciples could see all of the fish got their spiritual bodies and went back to Vaikuntha. Anyone know where that story is from? Yeah, one of the two, Madhva or Ramana, you don't know, Ganga? No. Just by taking Mahaprasadam, these living entities were liberated. His disciples asked our particular acharya here, how is it we're taking prasadam every day and we're still here? And we're still in material consciousness, but these fish ate this Mahaprasadam and all of a sudden they got spiritual bodies and went back to Godhead. He said, because they took the prasadam offenselessly, without offense. That was the reply. So this dog also must have been without offense in associating with the devotees and got liberation. Then the devotees again attend the Snanayatra, clean the Gundicha temple, attend the Rathyatra, and this goes on continually for a few years. What I wanted to develop from the points here, this historical perspective, is that what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing, we're still doing. Srila Prabhupada did it, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati did it, Bhakti Vinod Thakur restored it. He was our acharya who, at that time, during his life, Gaudiya Vaishnavism and Vaishnavism in general had become misunderstood and almost looked down upon. So he spent his lifetime simply restoring the good name of Vaishnavism and particularly Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And there's a wonderful conversation in Los Angeles where Prabhupada was speaking to devotees, and Vishnu John Maharaj asked Prabhupada, Bhakti Vinod Thakur says in one place that he left his work unfinished. What does that mean? And Prabhupada replied, that means that he left it for you to finish. That is the mercy of the Vaishnava. Prabhupada said he could have conquered the world by himself. But by his mercy, he has left you something to do. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur restored Vaishnavism. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was the answer to his prayer that some empowered personality come to continue his mission and deliver the pure message of Krishna consciousness to the world. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati did that and had festivals and did parikrams and prasadam distribution and kirtan, etc., etc., just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. And then, of course, Srila Prabhupada appeared to further that mission and bring it to the West. And the example here is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of God. He teaches by his own example. He doesn't just say, oh, you do it, and I'm going to do something else. But an acharya is someone who teaches by example. So, especially in the spiritual sense, but of course there are mundane acharyas also which people like to follow. But our examples are the spiritual acharyas, and our duty is to look at their example, to take their instructions and their guidance, their mood, and to put it into our own, or to put it into practice in our own lives and exemplify that. And by doing so, we please them, our acharya and the previous acharyas, we please the Lord, and we purify ourselves. Just as when Prabhupada came or met Bhakti Siddhanta, not on the first visit, but on a later visit, he instructed Prabhupada, if you ever get money, print books. and preached to the Westerners. And by preaching to the Westerners, or by preaching in the English-speaking language to the Westerners, that will do good to you and to those who hear you. So all of these activities, these are all transcendental spiritual activities. They're meant for our spiritual benefit. They're meant for the benefit of others. They're meant to teach others. We're meant as followers of this disciplic succession, representatives of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our duty is actually twofold. Because if you look at the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's doing basically two things. He's setting an example of sadhana, of self-purification, and also of purifying others. So he's not just concerned with his own liberation, with his own spiritual advancement. We're not a movement of bhajananandis. This word bhajananandi means those who engage in spiritual life for their own purification, for their own liberation. This is a movement of ghosti anandis, as we call it, ghosti anandis. That means that we want to help others advance in spiritual life. We want to help them become liberated. This is the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj prayed that I'm not interested in my own liberation. I'm interested in the liberation of all of these rascals, all of these foolish people who have no attraction for your lotus feet. So that's the twofold teaching of the Lord by his own example and his own life, by his activities, and our duty is to do the same. But I wanted to read, there's of course a famous verse, we all know this verse from Bhagavad Gita and the purport by Prabhupada. Yad yad acharati shreshtas tad tad eva taro janasa yat pramanam kurute lokas tad anubartate. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So you shouldn't conclude that, well, I'm not a great man, therefore there's really no, what's the purpose of my trying to set an example? But the idea is that by following the example of the great persons, you will also become a great man and people will follow your example. That's how it works, from one person to another, from one person to another. Even if you're not a guru or a great or an acharya or initiating anybody, you're still setting an example for others by your actions. And especially in our movement, we haven't taken over the world yet. So amongst our small numbers, we have to set an example for each other. Sadhu Sangha Association, we set an example for each other in our sadhana, in our daily activities, in what we say, how we act, what we do. And by doing that, we purify ourselves. And then the ordinary class of people, the non-devotees, will see this wonderful example of pure human beings who are free from lust, free from anger, free from greed, free from pride, from delusion and envy. These are the six faults of the conditioned soul. So let me read this purport, and then I'm going to read something about prasadam distribution. Again, the verse, whatever action a great man performs, common men follow, and whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. There's a story that one lady came with her with her son to a guru, famous guru, and said, "Oh, my son eats so many sweets, he can't stop eating sweets. Can you please help my son?" And the guru said, "Okay, come back in 1 week and I'll talk to you then." So the lady went home with her son, and of course her son continued to eat the sweets. And she came back a week later and came to the guru and said, "Oh, well, I'm here again. What what, is there something you'd like to tell my son? Said, come back in another week. So she went away and came back another week. As okay, Gurudev, please, my son is still eating sweets. Is there something you can do? You haven't said a word to him yet. And said, come back again one more week. So she comes back in another week, and here's my son. And the guru says, my dear boy, please stop eating sweets. It's not good for you. So the son goes into another room, and the lady asks her guru, Gurudev, why is it that you waited 3 weeks to tell my son to stop eating the sweets? And he said to her, because I myself was eating sweets. I cannot instruct anyone not to eat sweets if I myself am eating. A nice story, huh? Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures like Manu Samhita and similar others are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. Who knows that verse? That verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. Come on, Pushkar. Well, there's several, but the one I get out of this, I remember the whole, can't remember the whole thing. Mahajanayena Katasapanta. Oh, that's right, that's Mahabharata. Thank you. That's right, that's Mahabharata. So it. Ah, that's the one. Mahatsevam dwaram ahur vimuktas. Yeah, similar word. Mahatsevam. By service to. Find the translation. Oh, I see. Okay. Don't have Vedic basis? No, okay. Same ideas. The king or the executive head of state, the father and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. So, within our Krishna consciousness movement, everything is there from the acharyas, from Srila Prabhupada, to follow ourselves and set the proper example for others to lead them on the path back to Godhead. And this is the authorized disciplic succession. Of course, we're not saying the only disciplic succession or the only acharyas, but if we are to be or to consider ourselves followers of Gaudiya Vaishnavism through Srila Prabhupada, and then we follow this way of activity and these particular principles that he laid down for us, always respecting all Vaishnavas at the same time. But the instructions of our guru are our life and soul, and we should keep them in our heart, hold them in our heart, and follow them strictly for our own purification and for others' purification. Now, I wanted to read, this is from the Shikshamrita. Srila Prabhupada's instructions from his letters. And these are specifically dealing with the topic of prasadam distribution, because part of our preaching methodology, our secret weapon, as Prabhupada called it, is prasadam distribution. And we should never take it lightly, or as secondary even. Prabhupada kept this prasadam distribution on the same level with Harinam Sankirtan. And in many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's considered, since Sankirtan is a yajna, a sacrifice, that part of the sacrifice of the or the yajna is that prasadam must be distributed. So it goes hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. One of these letters, Prabhupada actually writes to one devotee, one disciple, that you're doing all these wonderful activities, but where is the prasadam distribution? So we can have a lot of things going on, but we must also have prasadam distribution. And prasadam distribution serves so many purposes. By taking prasadam, we're purifying the conditioned souls. We are making friends with others, non-devotees. It's also on a practical, mundane level. It could be a source of income for a temple. So all these things are discussed here by Srila Prabhupada in different letters, all these different aspects of prasadam distribution. Very interesting. So this chapter is called Prasadam Distribution and Preaching, and I picked particular ones, some highlights. They're all in a dated order, beginning from 1969. I am pleased to note, see, hearing these words of Srila Prabhupada, these are instructions. These aren't just like passing statements or non-time-sensitive statements. They're meant for all time. We can't see Srila Prabhupada's words as limited to a particular... Sometimes they're specific to individuals, but when it comes to instructions, general instructions, we should see these as something we take as our life and soul. I am pleased to note that everything is going on very harmoniously in your temple, and this is a symptom that you are all executing your Krishna conscious duties nicely. You mentioned that you are fixing up your temple for nice love feast program, and this is 100% approved by me. Try to have very nice love feasts, because here in Los Angeles, they are constantly attracting more and more members to join them. And the love feast program is one of the very strong attracting influences. This program of offering grand scale quantities of prasadam amongst the general people was encouraged by Lord Chaitanya. Because if someone partakes of the remnants of offering to Lord Krishna, then he is sure to come back to Krishna consciousness again at one time or another. So, propagate our process of Sankirtan, sumptuous love feasts, and reading literatures of Krishna consciousness, and surely many persons will be attracted to join this sublime movement. This is the formula. This is the formula right here. Prabhupada is given. Sankirtan, prasadam, and books. Three things. Both Sridham and Nandakishore are good administrators of prasad, which is our peak medicine for driving away maya. So I have all blessings for them. Let them chant Hare Krishna and distribute prasad, and things will come very quickly. And when we say formula, what is the... Formula means you, like in a laboratory, you have a formula and put things together and you get a result. So the result is the success of the Krishna consciousness movement. Very simple result. So we can use that as the litmus test of our success. If we're not successful for some reason or other, we can go backwards and see, what am I not doing that is causing this? Please maintain, this 1970, please maintain the program of temple worship, distribution of, now he's added temple worship here, distribution of prasadam, Sankirtan party, distribution of literatures, study and Krishna work, all in order, and make everything as nice as possible. 1971. Also, your college program sounds very nice. Preaching in schools, colleges, and universities, along with distribution of our books and prasadam, will flourish the propaganda of our mission. 1971. Just keep yourselves to the standard by regular and attentive chanting, study, preaching, working, sankirtan, and distribution of literatures and prasadam. Then everything will be all right. And of course, this famous quote from 1971. So do something wonderful there in Gainesville. Wonderful means simply you chant loudly and distribute prasadam. That is not very difficult. It is very easy. Simply if you do it enthusiastically and sincerely, then success will be there. 1971. I am so glad to note that you are planning a Hare Krishna festival in Detroit on the order of the ones we held in India. We had a very large tent, displayed our literature, had kirtan and arti ceremony for Radha and Krishna, spoke some on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and distributed prasadam sumptuously, and not less than 20,000 and as many as 40,000 came daily to participate. It was so successful. 1971. Yes, preaching is more important than managing. Just because you are preaching nicely and distributing so much prasadam, the management will follow like a shadow, and Krishna will send you no end of help. 1971. I am very pleased that you have accepted the responsibility of managing such an important center at Berkeley. I know that there are many students in that city, so just attract them to our Krishna consciousness movement by giving them prasadam and our Krishna philosophy. 1971. Especially I want this school and college program. If only the intelligent class of men understand our Krishna philosophy, then our mission is successful. So try to attract these students with profuse prasadam and nice philosophy, and they will appreciate more and more. 1972. Simply demonstrate chanting and dancing and induce them to participate. Then give them nice philosophy talk with questions and answers. Distribute prasadam profusely. Ask them to buy our books and magazines and study them closely. That's all. Try for this program, and that will help me very much. Thank you for helping me in this way. 1972. This prasadam distribution item is very, very important, and it is so much pleasing to me that in the beginning, so many children are coming for taking prasadam, and that supply of rice had come automatically. I believe this is in India, perhaps during the beginnings of the Food for Life or prasadam distribution in Mayapur, I'm not sure. Please continue this program rigidly. By prasadam distribution, you will do service to the Lord, and the public will be pleased upon you as well. Gradually increase the number of guests, and don't deny anyone. 1972. You must construct something wonderful. Otherwise, it will be a discredit to you American boys. That will exalt the position of America in India. And in every temple, food distribution must go on profusely with American food supplies. Have the Americans given us the food supplies? Is there any tangible donation? As you probably described, some program of getting donations from the local government to distribute, cook and distribute prasadam. 1972. So far, prasad distribution, it is not a question of rich or poor. That will be karmakanda. Our program, therefore, is that we offer prasad to everyone. Make our temple so nice that everyone who comes is offered some prasad. Not that we are after poor men. It is nice that we are feeding 200 daily, but gradually try to increase. But do not advertise. We shall be self-advertising. And do not go to poor areas. This is not our philosophy. Our philosophy is prasad distribution without discrimination, rich or poor. 1972. Your program for the university students is very, very nice. Try to do it seriously and with scholarly approach. Yes, your chief weapon will be prasad, because everyone likes to eat nice foodstuffs, and then philosophy and other things will come gradually. In this way, try to make many devotees, just like so many of you, my top grade disciples, came from University of Buffalo under the direction of Rupanuga. 1974. Yes, I fully agree that what is the use of a temple if there is no prasadam distribution? Prasadam distribution on a large scale must be resumed. Such a temple where there is no distribution has no value. I agree. 1974. Now I am especially concerned to distribute grains, rice, wheat in the form of dal and rice prasadam to hungry people all over India. The people here are very disturbed because partly due to the punishment of nature and partly due to the mismanagement of the demon class of men, food is not available. If the people do not even have sufficient food, they will not even be able to receive spiritual instructions. Very important. You can't preach to the poor and the hungry unless their bellies are full. Very practical. So I am hopeful that if we can widely distribute free foodstuffs to the people of India by giving it out at our centers, as well as by traveling parties to villages, we will win over the whole country and the whole world by this activity on Krishna's behalf. Prabhupada is saying here, we can take over the whole world by prasadam distribution. 1974, the prasadam program must be continued and increased. It is a very good program for attracting the students. They have never tasted this kind of foodstuffs. 1975, almost finished. Your prasadam program is also very important. Continue it. By chanting and giving prasadam, you will get so many devotees. 1975. Prasad in this country means a full meal. From the very beginning, even when I was alone, I was cooking myself for at least one dozen men, and I distributed full meals. According to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, prasadam should be taken up to the neck, akanta. In Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's only occupation was holding Sankirtan at least 4 hours every day and distributing prasad to the devotees. It is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Lord was so liberal that he would give to every man prasad quite sufficient for being eaten by two or three men. So we are trying to follow by distributing prasad very liberally, and we invite everyone without any discrimination. Everywhere we have got temples, we distribute prasadam, especially to the poorer men. I am enclosing one issue of our Back to Godhead magazine, which contains photos of our prasad distribution starting on page 12. This prasad distribution is going on all over the world. 1975. Regarding your festivals with prasadam, yes, do it occasionally. There is no need of accumulating wealth more. You can get wealth more and also spend wealth more. This is Brahmanism. Get and spend, but not to spoil and squander. This example should be shown to others. That the city was paying you means that they are appreciating. Gradually, they will all appreciate very much. And even up to 1977. Please accept my blessings. Now you must arrange in each temple. There must be sufficient stock of prasadam for distribution. You can keep first-class cooks, two or three, and they should be always engaged. Listen to how Prabhupada describes. Anybody that comes to the temple has to get prasadam. Whenever any guest comes, he must get prasad. This arrangement must be made that the cooks prepare 10, 20 servings at a time of puris and sabji, and you can add halava and pakoras, and the visitors must be supplied immediately. Whenever a gentleman comes, he must be served. As the 20 servings are being distributed, immediately the cooks prepare another 20 servings and store it. At the end of the day, if no one comes, our own men will take, so there is no loss. You cannot say, it is finished, it is not cooked yet. There is no supply for cooking, etc. This must be enforced rigidly. The temple is managed by Srimati Radharani Lakshmiji. So why should there be want? Our philosophy is, if anyone comes, let him take prasad, chant Hare Krishna, and be happy. Everything is being supplied by Krishna. Krishna is not poor, so why we should deny them? This should not be done. This should be done at any cost. There is no difficulty. It simply requires nice management. At the end of the day, you may sell or give away. If we believe that Krishna is providing and maintaining everyone, then why we should be misers? This means losing faith in Krishna and thinking that we are the doers and the suppliers. We are confident Krishna will supply. Let the whole world come. We can feed them. So please do this nicely. Begin at once. And lastly, in 1977, this prasadam distribution is very important. Do it nicely. Our main programs are distributing prasadam and sankirtan. So from 1965, when he came to America, to 1977, he's still saying the same thing over and over again. So thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Shikshamrita ki jai. So any questions or comments? Ganga?
Since you're on the topic of prasadam distribution, it's something that has bothered me for quite some time. When I first moved down here, which was about 6 years ago, coming to the temple, the Sunday feast was always very nice, and I would, you know, invite as many people as I can, you know, from the outside to come for the Sunday feast, and I would tell devotees, you know, that I communicated with in different parts of the other places that the prasadam program is very nice, everything is very nice. Then at a certain point, they claimed that there was a lack of funds in the temple. And the prasadam, the quality of the prasadam went down to like... I mean, there was one Sunday feast where they came out with a couple of buckets of rice, and that wasn't even cooked very nicely. I remember when Bhakti Charu Swami was here. Then the prasadam, after some time, after about a year or two, the prasadam started getting a little bit better. But and now they say that they're not using oil, they're using ghee. But a lot of times they... if you use very cheap ingredients, and you can see that they're making it as unopulent and as let's just say thrifty, use the word thrifty as possible, that devotees don't notice, you know, that this is the way, this is their, you know, the attitude that they're distributing prasadam to the general devotees on Sunday. And, you know, we tithe, and, you know, there are, the temple always encourages us to tithe and, you know, give to the festivals, which we try to do within our capacity. But here in the letters of Srila Prabhupada, he was saying that Srimati Radharani will supply, and, you know, we should try to make nice prasadam and distribute it. I remember when I was in L.A. as a brahmachari, in the early days, we used to distribute Back to Godhead magazines and get a quarter. And on those donations, because we didn't even have books at that time in the beginning, we were maintaining the whole Los Angeles temple. We would have buckets, 50-gallon buckets of prasadam, very, very opulent prasadam. There was so much prasadam that... all the devotees couldn't eat it, and we had, we used to go down to the Midnight Mission in L.A. and distribute the rest of the prasadam to the indigent people, you know, in that area. So I'm looking at the contrast between collecting a quarter for Back to Godhead magazines and maintaining the whole L.A. temple and having opulent prasadam, and, you know, this situation where the prasadam is... where sometimes you actually feel ashamed that they offered this to the deities. I know I'm using very harsh and outspoken words, but I would like to go on record as, you know, I'm sure everyone has different perspectives on things, but I apologize if I've offended anyone, and I'd like to say that I love the temple. I really appreciate the deity worship and the association devotees, and I know the management is trying their utmost to do the best that they can. But some solution should be arrived at, I would say.
I realize this isn't a question so much as a comment on prasadam distribution in general, but just from my perspective, you're referring to the past, but what do you think of the prasadam now? I think personally.
To say I wasn't overly impressed by it, I was thinking they should have at least offered the Lord something a little bit on a higher level than this.
Yeah. Since I'm not part of the management here, I can't comment on what's really going on. I think you have to take this up directly with someone here. I mean, if that's your perspective. Because I'm not here every day, I can't say.
My comment on that latest point is that I have been on both sides of the aisle. I've been collecting and as well as managing in my years in ISKCON. So I know it's hard to, you know, first, when you're a Sankirtan devotee, and like he was saying, you know, you used to get a BTG magazine, you get 25 cents. I used to distribute books and distribute other things, paraphernalia and stuff like that. So I've been on both sides of the equation, so to speak. And my realization throughout the years is like, I also have seen cases in which, in some temples, in which the prasadam, the quality of the foodstuff offered to the deity is not that great. But anyway, in any case, I was thinking, in reality, the responsibility to distribute prasadam is not just in management. The responsibility of distributing prasadam is in every member of ISKCON. So if I'm not in management, which I'm not nowadays, my duty is to contribute something so that prasadam distribution can happen. So in other words, we should never think that even though Prabhupada is addressing these letters specifically to managers, in reality the job of the manager is to enthuse the members of the temple to actually contribute to this mission. That is why it is important to remember that we are in this together. It is not just management's job or just our job. It is a combination of the supporters and the management to make happen, you know, prasadam distribution, book distribution. To be engaged in Prabhupada's mission, it's already a very high privilege. And so we should understand that even though these letters are specifically addressed to those who were managing this whole thing, in reality the job is everyone's job. It's not just theirs.
I can't speak about the situation here, but in my travels, one of my favorite temples is Soho Street in London, and they distribute the Mahaprasad after every single offering, like the Mungal sweets they serve, except for the pears and burfis, they serve them at breakfast, and then after the noon kirtan in class, they serve out the maha from the lunch offering, and then after the 4:30 kirtan, they serve out the fruit offering, and after the Sundar Arati, after the kirtan, they serve out the the 7:30 offering, and then at 9 o'clock after the final arati, they have, so you can get like Mahaprasad like five times a day there, and some temples, you go for several days without getting a piece of Mahaprasad. So somehow or other, they have a really nice spirit of distributing the Lord's Maha there. And every arati, there's always a kirtan for all six of them. You know? And it's like a really dynamic place. So that's a good spirit to emulate. So.
It appears that Prabhupada didn't want any distinctions in prasadam distribution. He distributed to everyone. And he mentioned, I believe, that if you just distribute to this group of people, then with karma kanda or something?
Yeah, he called it karma kanda. If you just distribute to one class of people, not the other,
But then another pieces that you shared, it's like with India, with the